Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity.
Hey, all you baddies out there. Welcome to the Next Door Villain podcast.
Yes.
I think I've just committed to calling all our listeners baddies.
Good. You know, I was concerned. When everyone voted that we should call them baddies, I was like, I don't know if Joe's going to say it.
No,
it's too wholesome.
I love it.
Me too.
And it's a good one. Yeah, if you don't like it, sorry. You missed the vote.
Yes, that's true. I feel like more people should know about our secret Facebook group, which is for some reason private, and I'm not quite sure
why. We could make it unprivate.
Yeah, find us on our very secret, lucrative Facebook group.
Next Door Villain podcast. It's pretty easy to find. And we hope that all you baddies are excited today for the iconic villain that we are discussing from the 1984 movie A Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, here's your nightmare episode.
Yep.
It's going to be really scary. Yeah,
I've been excited to do this one for a while because Nightmare on Elm Street is, I think, one of my favorite horror films. I think the concept is really interesting, that this monster dude can come into your dreams and actually hurt you from your dreams. And then in order to avoid him, you basically have to stay awake. And that's, yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, your brain probably like runs out of processing power. It's like it needs to recharge. That's how brains work.
Is it?
Probably, right?
Wow. I assume so. But no, I really liked, I hadn't seen A Nightmare on Elm Street before we decided to do this episode. And it was much more interesting than what I thought it was going to be. I just kind of assumed it was going to be more like a Jason type thing where they like there's just a dude and he's just killing people and blah. And I was like, cool, how exciting. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, a nightmare on Elm Street. That's why it's called that.
Yep. Yeah. They live on Elm Street and they have nightmares.
Don't we all?
Yeah. And I guess I should say that we are primarily pulling from the original Nightmare on Elm Street movie and not too much from the thousands of sequels, which I've actually seen most of the sequels.
Wow.
I watched all of them a number of years back when I was like really kind of obsessed with it. And I think the original Nightmare on Elm Street is really the best, and the sequels get pretty cheesy and they get pretty kind of bonkers, some of them. And I don't know that they're all really worth watching unless you just like are really into the fun of it. I don't know if fun's the right word, but they're pretty cheesy and over the top in a lot of ways.
Yeah. In case you really want to see Freddy's very sexy face.
Yeah. And he does fight Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Freddy versus Jason.
I did learn
Jason.
About that.
Yeah.
Wow.
He brings Jason to life, but then he gets jealous because Jason has killed too many people.
Wow. Freddy has feelings.
Yeah. So before we dive in, we got to do our 30-second intro challenge where we do our best to explain everything about this villain in 30 seconds or less. Whose turn is it to go first?
Mine.
Yours. Okay.
I accept challenge.
All right. Great.
I accept the challenge.
Wow. Okay. So inspiring. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. So Freddy Krueger, he's probably from German descent. He used to be an alive person who used to kill children. And then he became a not alive person. I'm sorry. You know, he haunts people's dreams. It's not that funny. It just got me off guard. It just got me off guard. Why did I say that? Okay. I'm crying.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got the core of him, though, right? He was alive, and then he was dead, and now he haunts dreams. We got to get the laughs out now because I think the rest of this episode is going to be so depressing.
It also doesn't help that I'm on my period. And so, like, I easily, like, my emotions just get easily, like, up and down very easily.
and Freddy Krueger really roused you up.
The hormones, man.
Is it his looks?
No, it's those nails.
Just imagine them, like, running across your body. Just caressing you. He does this thing with his tongue where he goes, ah.
There will be an explicit sign next to this episode, right? Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Freddy Krueger is this guy. He was a janitor and he grew up as a kid in an abusive family. And then as he grew up, then through the, you know, the whole cycle of abuse, he started abusing other people's children, and he got caught. But then through a technicality in the court system, he was set free. And so the parents of those children decided to murder him. And now he haunts the dreams of those parents' children.
That was really good.
Thank you. It was hard because all our listeners can't see this, but I have to see you via the video chat laughing and crying as I'm talking about this man who's abusing children.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I understand that that's not funny. The reason why I'm laughing is just because I got a weird case of the giggles that was from completely unrelated.
Yes, which happens. While you process, I want to slow down a little bit and go kind of through the Freddy Krueger story. His backstory gets explained a little bit in the film, but it's through a lot of the other films that we get a lot of the more of the pieces or the more specific instances of his life growing up. So it's a really depressing story about a child who was born into an abusive family. He was abused by his father.
Wait, how do we know this? Because of a movie, or?
Yeah, I think it's discussed a little bit in Nightmare on Elm Street, but comes in the other movies. It's explained in more detail.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah. So they say he's the son of 100 maniacs, and there's no like good way to explain this. I can't think of like a really sensitive way to say this. So. Yes, there will be an explicit warning on this podcast episode. And if you're listening now and you know, we're going to be talking about assault and...
Yeah. And that is not funny.
No. So we're just giving you that now. So if that's something that you don't want to hear or can't hear, or it's not safe for you to listen to, feel free to back out and go check out a more fun episode.
Yeah, like Tammy too.
Yeah. So they say he's the son of 100 maniacs because his mother was a nun who worked at an insane asylum, and basically she got trapped in with all of the prisoners at the insane asylum one night, and they all got out and she was basically sexually assaulted by all of them. And then Freddy Krueger was born.
Whoa.
And then he was given up for adoption and was adopted by a father who was abusive to him throughout his life, and he eventually killed his father to get out of that situation.
Wow.
And then he grew up and got married and worked at a school where he was, turns out, secretly like molesting the children. And then when he got caught and went to trial, he got set free because of a technicality in the court system, which is like a whole other terrible conversation. But the parents of those children who were molested decided to enact revenge on him, and I think they burned him alive in the boiler room at the school. And now he is turned into this nightmare dream monster, and he's coming to enact revenge on those parents' children by coming into their dreams and attacking them. So right off the top, he does a lot of terrible things, and we are in no way justifying any of those actions when we try to empathize with him.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like, it was very hard to even find a way to back into empathizing with him. This is a guy who's just, he's really bad.
He is. He sucks, honestly.
Unapologetically terrible.
Yes.
So I don't know, Tiana, did you, what did you come up with?
Yeah, I actually found kind of a way. Because he shows up in people's dreams, to me, it's almost like he becomes somewhat useful in the fact that he is helping kids and the people kind of in these movies figure out how to deal with threats. So I really liked this movie because it was so interesting how dreams can manifest into reality and how this movie is so scary because we don't want our nightmares to come true. And in this movie, it does. He is able to kill them and he's able to even come out of the dream, which is really freaky. But he starts off being in the dream. And so there are a lot of theories out there as to why we dream or what dreams mean. Some of them by Freud and Carl Jung, and maybe, you know, some theories that are a little bit more supernatural. But there's this theory called threat simulation theory, which assumes that we dream so that we can act in a dream simulation of threatening events and figure out how to overcome the threatening events. So basically, the dream is a defense mechanism, quote unquote, enhancing the neurocognitive mechanisms required for efficient threat perception and avoidance. So basically, when you are in a dream and it's a nightmare and it's scaring you, it's actually just training you to deal with threats that you might deal with in everyday life. And even the emotions that you feel during that dream, like fear and anger, also helps us adapt to the situation and respond appropriately because we will most likely be feeling those same emotions in real life. So nightmares can be kind of useful. And so to me, I kind of thought, of course, minus the killing, the actual killing part, I thought that Freddy was kind of useful because he's like a warning or a trainer and a helper, kind of like helping-ish, okay? I'll lightly use that term. Helping-ish, helping kids recognize threatening people, avoiding threatening people, and perhaps helping them learn how to defeat threatening people.
I think that's really interesting. And I almost wonder if we can view Freddy and this film as kind of a metaphor for like the way that underlying trauma can manifest itself. Like if you're talking about dreams, like being a way of processing things and learning to overcome threats, I wonder if we're thinking of Freddy as more of a metaphor than an actual person, is there a lot of kind of underlying trauma happening in these families? And I don't know that there's evidence of that specifically in the film, but also a lot of times when children or teenagers are going through traumatic situations in their lives, it's not visible outside of their homes. And a lot of times things that are traumatic for children don't look traditionally what we think of as abuse. So I do wonder if we can see Freddy's manifestation in these children's lives as evidence that these children are not getting the love and care that they need from their families. I do think there is evidence that these parents kind of suck.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so can I fully be mad at Freddy for being a metaphor or for being someone in a nightmare? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can be mad at him for killing, like going beyond that, you know. But initially, you know, I thought, well, I guess Freddy is just like the nightmares that we have, and that's what he is.
And besides all the people who come out of this film dead, Nancy, I think, comes out of it stronger than when she started. I think she really learned to take matters into her own hand and like step up and take charge. And unfortunately, she lost a lot of people along the way. So I don't know. I mean, to some degree, we're just kind of making up excuses to not talk about Freddy as a real creature that is actually causing real pain. But I think it's interesting to talk about the metaphor of the film just as a way to think about it a little bit differently.
Right. I really, when I read about the threat simulation theory, I really related to that too, because there has been a rise in COVID-19 related dreams. Mm-hmm. Dreams that people are reporting are like things where people aren't being safe and so they're in a threatening situation. Or maybe no one's wearing masks and they freak out. And I've definitely had those dreams too. For example, there was a lady in one of my dreams who was at the grocery store and rubbed her snot on me, which is hilarious because snot is like coming out of my nose right now. And then she like did the tango with her shirt off. And even though like I hated her, she was a dream, and she helped remind me that I need to keep my distance of all people while I'm in the grocery store. So it's like training me to be alert of distance and people who may or may not rub their snot on you. And so, yeah, Freddy is like a trainer. You know, it's a, kind of like a battlefield of the mind, which made this movie so interesting too, because when they figure out, oh, like, I don't need to give you my energy and I take away your power. And when I don't care so much and I'm not so afraid, then yeah, your power is gone, essentially-ish. That's kind of what I got from the movie.
Yeah. I think that plays right into this whole metaphor. Yeah, that realization that we give power to the things that scare us by giving them attention.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, in a lot of ways, that's what anxiety is like, right? The more you feed it, the more it takes over.
Right. So you could also argue that maybe it's not fully Freddy's fault because people are handing him that energy. Kind of like how anxiety may not be the villain because you're giving it that energy. Maybe that's a stretch.
Interesting to think about. I'm not sure I'm totally on board, but I think it's an interesting thought experiment for sure.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that our listeners will think we're kind of taking the easy way out of this episode if we don't consider the fact that Freddy is perhaps a real monster actually attacking people in their dreams, and then how in that case can we empathize with him? And I only found really one route in, and it's one that we use quite often, and that is that he had a really horrible upbringing. And
just like Gaston.
Just like most villains, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, his upbringing was really, truly horrific. And that does not mean that it's okay for him to do the things that he did, but it's a reminder that if we give people appropriate social systems and care when they're younger, that they will be better adults.
Yeah.
We as individuals and as a society have some responsibility when people grow up to do bad things.
Yeah.
I tried to do a lot of research about childhood trauma for this episode. I didn't try. I did a lot of research. There's so much research out there. It was hard for me without having any really specific background knowledge myself or education on it. I didn't feel too comfortable making any very specific statements about it. But kind of one of the overarching things about childhood trauma is that it is, first of all, like very real, and that whatever anger and shame and despair that a child might feel from physical abuse or emotional abuse or any number of different things almost always manifests in some way as they grow older, either, you know, as maybe depression or anxiety, PTSD, or like in Freddy's case, more outwardly as aggressive and impulsive and acting negatively towards other people. That's my spiel.
We have to somehow like break that cycle of abuse.
Yeah. And one thing that's maybe not appropriate necessarily is the fact that, you know, even though he did a number of terrible things when he was alive, is that the parents burning him alive was not necessarily an appropriate action.
Right. He needed a what is it called? Right to a court.
Well, and he did, and he got away with it. And
ooh, yeah.
Yeah. The other big villain here is the court system, which failed to acquit a man who was out there abusing children actively.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely more than one villain in this movie other than Freddy, like the adults. There's a crazy guy chasing me. It's in my dream. Shut up. Get some sleep.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that. These kids are saying ridiculous things. I get that. But like, if your child comes to you and says that she's being like attacked by someone in her dreams, and it's like, and she's clearly upset over it, even if you don't believe her, something is going on, right?
Right.
Like, and I admit that is pretty unbelievable to hear as a parent, but still, it's like something's wrong with your daughter, like, or something's happening to your daughter that is causing her to believe she's having these terrible dreams. Do something about it. Like, be there for her. Or how about in the end when Nancy is like trapped in the house screaming out for the cops who are across the street?
Right. And they're like, I don't know what she's up to.
Uh-huh. or her dad who had promised that he would be there at a certain time for her.
Right. And he's a cop.
Defund the police.
I know. At least her mom was like, let's take you to a sleep doctor. But the sleep doctor kind of proved that something majorly wrong was happening because of all the data. But then even after that, they didn't really do much about it. They were just like, oh my God, these numbers have never been this high before. Holy schnikeronis. And then nothing really happens.
Yeah, they just kind of dropped it. And they're like, okay, we don't know how to solve it, so.
And then she's like, I got a hat. And she's like, I threw it away. What the fuck? Oh, man. But I'm thankful for this movie for starting Johnny Depp's career.
Yeah, I had forgotten that he was in this film until I rewatched it recently.
Yeah. One of my random comments was Wolverine inspired by Freddy?
No, obviously not.
But because of the
X-Men comics were out long before the 1980s.
Was Freddy inspired by Wolverine? Maybe that should be the question.
I will say, I think Wolverine was inspired by a Wolverine.
Like a wolf?
No. A Wolverine. It's not a wolf.
Wait, there was a Wolverine before Wolverine?
No. Like, it's a creature. It's not a wolf. It's a different animal. It's a Wolverine.
Oh.
Look it up.
Wait, there's an animal called Wolverine?
Yes. And they are terrifying. They're not...
What?
Oh my goodness. We've gone on a tangent here, but if you want to see a real animal villain, like, check out a Wolverine, because they are vicious creatures.
Wow.
And if you think they're like wolves,
I'm learning so much. Like,
they're not. I did, as I was struggling to come up with ways to empathize with Freddy Krueger, I kind of threw out a question on Instagram, and a couple of my friends responded. My friend JJ said, when asked how she could empathize with Freddy Krueger, she said, well, he's overcome a severe burn injury, and that's hard.
Props to that.
Which is fair. My friend Destiny said, he's kind of stylish, though, with his fedora and his green and red striped sweater.
Wow, he brought it back.
I feel like he ended that look, too. Like, that's... Mm-hmm. Like...
Don't wear a fedora, otherwise you'll be Freddy Krueger.
I mean the green and red striped sweater. Like, I can't see a striped shirt like that and not think of Freddy Krueger.
Oh, sad.
Yeah.
I think I have one like that.
And, you know, another thing about him, not necessarily a way to empathize with him, but just a way that he's, like, a pretty awesome villain, is he has a lot of powers.
He does.
He's got those claw things and obviously the dream inception thing. But then he can, like, make his arms really long. He's got, like, elastic arms.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of slime, too.
Yeah, he cuts his fingers off and, like, gooey blood comes out.
Kinky.
He actually has, like, souls that he's killed on his belly.
Oh.
You see that in one of the later films when you see his shirt. He's got, like, faces on his burned belly.
Tasty. A quote that I liked that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
In the movie, Tina's running away and she's like, God, help me. And he says, this is God. Like his fingernails, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, it's very confident.
All right. You got anything else?
I got a question.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. What has been a dream you've had that has been hard to shake off? Maybe it was hard to remember that it wasn't real and felt a little bit too vivid. It could be weird, funny, scary, etc. And do you consider that dream or the people in that dream as villainous?
I have two answers. And one of them is because I had a very vivid dream last night.
Perfect.
And it was very scary and then very fun afterwards.
Wow.
So it was a dream. I woke up. I was in my actual bed in my actual apartment. So it seemed very real. And then I looked over, it was in the middle of the night, and I looked over and my closet door was open. And I was like, that's weird, because I always close my closet door. And then I could see that the kitchen light was on, and I was like, oh, sometimes I leave the kitchen light on. I could see the light, like, through the bottom of the door. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll go back to sleep. I probably just forgot to do those things. And then I was laying there, and I was, like, feeling kind of scared, but I was like, oh, I'm going to go back to sleep. But then I saw the kitchen light turn off. And I was like, oh, my God, someone is in my apartment. I, like, rolled out of bed, screaming at the top of my lungs.
Wait, you did you did that in real life?
No, this is all in the dream.
Okay, got it.
All of this is a dream, but it was very realistic. Because it was like, you know, how sometimes you dream and it's like you're in a different place, but it still feels like it's your place. This looked and felt like my place.
Mm-hmm.
So I screamed and I grabbed a stick and I get out there and it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's about to leave to go to a big meeting.
Wow. Did she wear red lipstick and look really?
Oh, she wore red lipstick. She looked very good and we made out.
Nice. Oh man, I knew you were like touch hungry or touch starved during quarantine, but I guess it manifested itself in your dream.
I guess so. I didn't know that I was attracted to her, but...
Oh, I knew. I've been attracted to her since I was born.
When she was a baby, you were attracted to her?
Well, she was a baby first before I was.
Yeah, so I mean, it started out negative, it ended... really positive. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
It'd be really cool.
Maybe she'd DM me or whatever. Slide if she heard about this.
But it'd be long distance. Wouldn't work out.
Yeah. Oh, well. My real answer is I do have a dream that I used to have regularly when I was a kid. And I had it regularly enough that I remember it still today. It was that I would be swimming. I'd be like in the water and then I'd run out of breath, but I would be too far away from the air and I'd be freaking out. And then all of a sudden I would like breathe in and I could breathe underwater.
Cool-ish.
Yeah. It was like really, really scary, you know, as I'm running out of breath and then all of a sudden just like having to breathe in the water and being ready to like drown and then it's fine. So was there a villain in either of these dreams? Not really.
AOC was a very good villain / hero.
Yeah, she redeemed herself. Why was her stuff in my house? And I don't know.
Yeah, questions. Okay, yeah, so
what about you?
So I have not thought about Elton John in a very long time. But I went through a really big Elton John phase when I was in high school. My favorite song of his is, I guess that's why we call it the blues. It's not even Rocket Man. But I was dreaming that I was on stage playing the piano, and I don't play the piano, so it was amazing. I was just amazed with myself that I could play the piano, and I kept playing Rocket Man by Elton John, and Elton John was there. We were playing together, and he was like, look at all the people who are watching you. And I was like, they're watching me? He's like, yes, you're a star. And I was like, oh my god. It was amazing. And then I woke up. And then I was like, is something happening to Elton John? Like, because we always assume that, oh, maybe we have some kind of sixth sense when it comes to our dreams. And I looked it up. It was his anniversary.
Like, he just wanted to celebrate.
Yeah, he just wanted to tell me it was his anniversary. And so I wished him the happy anniversary on Twitter. Was Elton John a villain? No. But he was in the way that, like, I wished that dream was real. So he kind of, like, made me feel bad later that he, you know, he was teasing me. Okay, so the other one is actually kind of fitting for today. I had a really intense COVID-19 dream. I had to go to a wedding that was no one was wearing any masks. It was chock full of thousands of people. No one was like following any social distancing at all. And they were just pretending there wasn't a pandemic. But I was told that if I didn't go, I would be losing my friends. Like my friends, like the friend who was getting married. And the other bridesmaids, of course, so I should say that, like, if you're a friend listening to this podcast, it wasn't you. It was, like, people who, like, were acquaintances in high school. But in this dream, they were, like, my best friends. Okay, so it wasn't actually you. But they were, like, if you are not a bridesmaid, we are never friends. We are not friends again. And I was, like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my friends if I don't do this. So I went to the wedding, and people were coming up to me. And they were like, hi, how are you? And they were like yelling in my face, just spitting their germs all over me. And I looked around the room and I was like, we're going to die. Okay, we probably still wouldn't necessarily die. But I was like, wow. And when I woke up, though, it just had such an impact, though, that I had to keep telling myself, you did not go to that wedding. And it took a while for me to, like, realize, like, I didn't do that because it was so vividly real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of other people have very similar dreams these days. And it goes back to, I think, that threat simulation theory again, mm-hmm. you know, like, do I think that those random people are villains? Well, you know, I guess they weren't really real. And I guess they were just telling me, hey, if you have weird friends that are saying you better do X, Y, and Z, something that's unsafe, in order to be my friend, then they're not real friends.
Mm-hmm.
So lesson, I guess.
Yeah. I think the real moral of this episode and the thing that we can really learn from Freddy Krueger is that dreams should be taken seriously.
Sometimes, yeah. Maybe not the AOC one.
No, I mean not like that the specific things that happen in your dreams are necessarily, you know, any kind of reality, but that you dream for a reason and mm-hmm. and you should consider seriously what your dreams might mean. And if you're having really scary, you know, traumatic type dreams, then that's probably some evidence that you have something going on in your mind, either that you're facing a real threat in real life or that you're facing an existential threat in your mind. It's worth noting if you're having negative dreams or weird dreams that it might mean something, and it might be something that you can go to a therapist and talk about, or even just go to a friend and talk about, and that processing that information might be helpful and useful for you. And I did put together a little Freddy Krueger poem. I'll just say Tiana is the poet of this podcast, and I am not a poet. I have written poetry before, but not often and not seriously, and I've not studied it. So
it'll be great.
So it'll be a poem. and I'm just, I'll also say it's not a fun poem. It's a serious poem.
I'll be the judge of that.
All right. It's called Young Freddy. My house is haunted. There's an ogre that hunts these halls, trying to find its next meal. And ogres eat children. It's trying to find me. I hide in cupboards and crevices, cowering in corners to escape its club, knowing eventually it will drink itself to sleep, and I can escape. At least until the ghost comes out. She passes through me as she moves from room to room. She moans and wails, and her chains rattle, and I press my hands to my ears to silence the sound, but it echoes in my mind, and I sob myself to sleep. And then I dream. And when I dream, I retreat into a world of my own creation, because when nightmares haunt your waking life, dreams become an escape into normalcy. I learn to construct a place where ogres smell like aftershave instead of whiskey, and in my world, ogres don't eat children. They raise them. I remove the shackles from the ghost so she no longer needs to moan. Instead, she whispers in my ear, soothes me to sleep, and wakes me softly in the morning. The ogre becomes the figure of a father, and the ghost becomes a mom. Eventually, I have to wake, and the things I've created that look like a mom and a dad turn back into the monsters that they are. They continue to haunt my house, and I count the seconds until I get to dream again.
Me is sad.
Yeah, that's that.
Good job.
Thank you. And thank you, all you baddies.
Anywho.
For listening to Next Door Villain Podcast.
Rate us, please.
Rate us, review us, all that good
stuff.
Sorry,
that sounded really aggressive. Please rate us. Find us on social media. I tweet on Twitter, and it just kind of goes into the ether.
Yeah, we're also active on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us all those places at Next Door Villain, or you can just shoot us an email, nextdoorvillain@gmail.com. And that is all.
Oh, this was produced.
This was produced
independently.
Yeah, independently by the people who you hear talking right now.
What's my name?
Tiana Hennings. And Joe Anderson, from the comforts of our respective apartments in Maine and Washington State.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.